I read in your hearing again the first 22 verses of the 34th chapter of the book of Job. This is the word of the Lord. May he be pleased to help us understand it even as I read it. Furthermore, Elihu answered and said, "Hear my words, O ye wise men, and give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge. For the ear trieth words as the mouth tasteth meat. Let us choose to us judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good. For Job hath said, I am righteous, and God hath taken away my judgment. Should I lie against my right, my wound is incurable without transgression. What man is like Job, who drinketh up scorning like water, which goeth in company with the workers of iniquity, and walketh with wicked men? For he hath said, it profiteth a man nothing that he should delight himself with God. Therefore hearken unto me, ye men of understanding, far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. For the work of a man shall he render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his ways. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. Who hath given him a charge over the earth, or who hath disposed the whole world? If he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. If now thou hast understanding, hear this, hearken to the voice of my word. Shall even he that hateth right govern, and wilt thou condemn him that is most just? Is it fit to say to a king, thou art wicked, and to princes, ye are ungodly? How much less to him that accepteth not the persons of princes, nor regardeth the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hand. In a moment shall they die, and the people shall be troubled at midnight, and pass away, and the mighty shall be taken away without hand. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his going. There is no darkness, nor shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves." Well, may we understand this portion a bit better this afternoon by the grace of God. You may be seated. As I seek to return your attention to what I have sought to show you are Elihu's assaulting words against godly Job in what I see as the devil's final assault against Job, because as I said earlier, you don't hear any more from either Elihu or Satan. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, even if that resisting means not saying anything. Job resisted this assault against him because he was not about to embrace a lie, even lies about himself. For remember, what does the God of truth declare about Job? Just reading Job 1:8 again. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" But the hate-filled heart of Satan, both towards God and man, whether saved or unsaved, will not allow him to acknowledge the infallible truth of the word of God, which results in this assault against Job. Both in the loss of children, the loss of his physical health, and being assaulted mentally and spiritually through Bildad, Zophar, Eliphaz, and now Elihu. And one of the challenges of trying to rightly divide what long-winded Elihu says is the fact that he is so long-winded. Is Elihu trying to overwhelm Job with the volume of what he says? But with Elihu's long-windedness comes the challenge of knowing where and when to break off from what he is saying, so I don't exhaust myself in preparation or you in trying to consider what I say, especially after an enjoyable fellowship meal together. And hopefully you will be helped in something that I might say through the absolutely necessary ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. But as I return your attention to this 34th chapter of Job, having reached the 11th verse, Elihu is continuing in his same subtle attack against Job by referring to truth about God. Verse 11, For the work of a man shall he render unto him and cause every man to find according to his ways. And here Elihu shows that he was lying with respect to how he would speak to Job in comparison to Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz. Because he's assaulting him just like they did. There is a popular saying that says, you don't kick a man when he is down. Job is down. Job is struggling with what he is going through, and Elihu continues the attack against Job begun by Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz, just in a different way. Yes, the way Elihu attacks Job is different than the way his three miserable comforters attacked him. But since Elihu is talking to Job, who is still suffering from the assaults of the devil, what does Elihu say to Job? You are getting what you deserve, Job. You're getting what you deserve, Job. Why do I say this? Verse 12. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. Now, again, is what Elihu says here about God true? Absolutely, 100%. But what is Elihu using this truth about God for? To assault Job with rather than help him. Because since it is impossible for God to do wickedly or the Almighty to pervert judgment, and you are suffering the way you are, Job, you can't be who you confess to be. He's no different than Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz. He's just doing it a different way, and he's doing it in a much more subtle way, because, and a much more dangerous way, and I think a much more demonic way, is Elihu is using truth both about God and about Job to assault him. He is affirming truth about God and is denying truth about Job. He is speaking with the forked tongue of the devil. Despite what you confess about yourself, Job, you have to be in error, because look at what you are going through, Job, and it is impossible for God to do wickedly or the Almighty to pervert judgment. But what truth is Elihu ignorant of? The truth that Job writes about after he goes through this great spiritual battle between truth and error, between the God of truth and the father of lies. Because what do you know, believer, that God has been pleased to reveal to you? If I can put it this way, you can look behind the curtain. You know that the devil is the instrument in the hand of God behind what Job is going through. Because what did God say to Satan? Behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. The devil, think of it. The devil could do everything he was capable of doing against Job short of killing him. And as I've said before, if he could have killed Job, he would have killed him. Why? Because we don't. If he killed them, we wouldn't have the book of Job. But you need the revelation of God's word in the opening chapters of this book to correctly understand what is taking place in the chapters we are in. It is not because Job is a wicked hypocrite that he is going through what he is going through, but because he is not one. The challenge and the difficulty of these final chapters before God speaks is remembering that even the devil can quote scripture. Even the devil can declare things that are true about God. But he will misapply truth about God, as we see here in his futile attempt to defeat a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The last thing any true saint should be surprised at, the last thing you should be surprised at, believer, is that the true Christian life can be extremely difficult at times. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The devil roams around the earth seeking whom what? He might have a nice party with. he might sit down for tea with, he might have coffee and a biscuit with, no, whom he might devour. The true Christian life can be extremely difficult at times. The Lord does not take most Christians to glory the moment after they confess Christ, as he did with the repentant believing thief on the cross. The true Christian life is a marathon. It's not a stroll in the park. We are to run with patience the race that is set before us, because there will be times when you do not understand what God is doing, even many times. And when the devil's leash is let out by God, he is going to use every inch of that leash against you. And when the truth about God is declared, but it is declared to assault or confuse a true believer in Christ, remember who is behind that misuse. For believer, never be ashamed to do what Job does with the assault of Elihu. He does not say anything in return. Now, the reason that Job does not respond to this verbal assault of Elihu is not given. But don't think you always have to respond to error, even if it is error about you. Don't think you will always be able to answer every question that is put to you. I may not know the answer with respect to what you are asking me or saying, but I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him against that. The last thing you should be surprised at is that the devil knows truth about God. But he does not use this truth to the glory of God. And those made in his image, he hates it. He labors to distort it and misuse it to the dishonoring of God, the destruction of souls, and the perplexing of God's people, even as he continues to assault Job through Elihu. Be on your guard, believer, when the truth of who God is being used to support something that is not true. Why? Because you are listening to someone who is listening to the father of lies. Elihu was trying to use truth about God to support his false statements about Job. Don't be like him. Don't be like the devil. Labor by the enabling grace and power of the Holy Spirit to always want to speak the truth in love. And Elihu repeats this same subtle attack against Job by referring to truth about God in the next verses as well. Verse 11, for the work of a man shall he render unto him and cause every man to find according to his ways. Here Elihu shows that he was lying, as I said, with respect to how he would speak to Job. Oh, the way he attacks Job is different than the way Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz attacked Job. But since Elihu is talking to Job, who is still suffering from the assaults of the devil, what is Elihu saying to Job? As I said, you are getting what you deserve, Job. Why? As I said, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. Now, as I said, what Elihu says here about God is true, absolutely true. But what Elihu has used, what's he using this truth for? To assault Job rather than help Job with this truth. Using this truth as it were to build Job up. No, he's using this truth to try and tear Job down. Since it's impossible for God to do wickedly or the Almighty to pervert judgment, and you are suffering the way you are, you can't be who you confess to be, Job. Elihu is using both truth about God and about Job to assault him. And that's a sign of the devil's work. Despite what you confess about yourself, you must be in error because of what you are going through. But what, as I said, has God revealed to you that the devil is behind what Job is going through? You need the revelation of God's word in the opening chapters of this book to correctly understand what is taking place in the chapters we are in. It's not because Job is a wicked hypocrite, because he's not one. Elihu was trying to use the truth about God to support his false statements about Job. Don't be like him. Labor by the enabling grace and power of the Holy Spirit, as I said, to want to speak truth in love. Elihu does not do this, as I will show again in verse 13 in a moment. But by his doing this, by the fact that Elihu is using truth not to the benefit of Job, but to his detriment, Elihu illustrates one of the most common deceptive attitudes towards the Bible used by devil-deceived people, which leads to one of the most popular devices in getting people to think that they can reject the Bible and ignore what it teaches, even ridicule it. What does Elihu illustrate is, again, as I will show in a moment, Elihu illustrates the truth that the Bible is, I can't say this categorically because I'm not omniscient, but it wouldn't surprise me if what I'm about to say is true. It would not surprise me in the least that the Bible is the most misquoted of all books. For how often will people say that the Bible says this or the Bible says that, but upon closer examination and inspection, what they say the Bible says is not found in the Bible? One example of what I mean by this. How many people have said that the Bible teaches that money is the root of all evil? Money is not the root of all evil, but what is? 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And this is a place where the misquoting of a biblical word can be illustrated as well. For it is not only verses in the Bible that are misquoted, but words and their meaning. For how many people have heard the unbiblical phrase, smile, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? Now, what is this idea built upon? An incorrect understanding and a misquoting of how the Bible uses the words world and all. But if all in the Bible always meant all without exception and not, as it is more often used, all without distinction, then you would have to teach that it was the love of money that was the evil reason that Satan rebelled against God. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money is not the root of all evil without exception, but it is the root of all evil without distinction. For there are many different ways men display their sinful love of money rather than God than by just holding up a bank. Money lovers can rent out rooms in the White House or start a pseudo charitable foundation with their name on it. All the evil in the world cannot trace its roots back to the sinful love of money. But because the Bible is so often misquoted, how many unbelievers will attempt to justify the rejection of what it clearly teaches, and even some who profess to be Christian will do this. But the message of the Bible, dear brethren, is crystal clear. It is the dead, blind, and depraved heart of man that is the problem. He doesn't want to see that crystal clear message of the Bible, that salvation is of the Lord and not of man, unless delivered from the blinding and deceiving power of the devil by the sovereign regenerating power of God. But because the Bible is so often misquoted, what will the non-believer often say when the clear gospel message is held forth? Everyone has their own idea as to what the Bible teaches. Everyone has their own interpretation of what the Bible teaches. Oh, how the devil loves hearing a lost person saying this, because he knows he is still blinding that person to the truth. Because what does Paul write to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Dear brethren, if it was impossible to have a right understanding of the scriptures beyond your own opinion, then Paul could never have written this to Timothy. It is possible to rightly divide the scriptures.
But as I will now seek to show in the case of devil-used Elihu, it is also possible to wrongly divide the scriptures and to misuse the scriptures and the truth that God is pleased to reveal and declare about himself. Because what is the only correct answer to the questions that Elihu asks in verse 13? Who hath given him a charge over the earth? Or who hath disposed the whole world? What's the only correct answer to these questions? No one. No one is given them that authority. Dear brethren, this is not just my opinion or your opinion. It's the only correct answer. God is absolutely sovereign. He is accountable to no one but himself. As Job will clearly learn at the end of this book. But what is Elihu doing again? Elihu is not using this truth about God for the benefit and blessing of Job, but to try and trip him up and confess to something that is not true about himself, or worse, charge God with being unjust in how he displays his sovereignty, as I will show in the next verses. But remember, believer, the devil knows things that are true about God, but he hates and detests these truths, and he will seek to use them in a way that dishonors rather than glorifies God, and he will use them to move men to hate rather than love God for all that he is pleased to reveal about himself. When any truth about God that God has been pleased to reveal about himself in his word, for remember, what does Psalm 138 verse 2 say? What does Psalm 138 verse 2 say? I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. But God's name is a biblical word to refer to all that he has been pleased to reveal about himself. How can his word be magnified above all that God has been pleased to reveal about himself? Because it is in the word that he reveals what he is like. But remember, when any truth that God has been pleased to reveal about himself in his word is disliked, is denied, is distorted, the devil is at work. Because I'll ask you this. Do any of the unfallen angels dislike, deny, or distort any of the truths of God that they know of the God they are able to serve? If they did, they would not be holy angels, but fallen devils. And I'll ask you another question. Are any of the redeemed who have passed out of this devil-blinded world expressing dislike, denial, or distorting any of the truths about God that they are now seeing and being able to enjoy with sinless sight because of the amazing grace of God? If they were, they would not be in heaven. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Remember, believer, the devil will labor to get people to hate that which is true about God. And oh, how that hatred is seen today by the number in the visible church who hate the truth of the absolute sovereignty of God, even hearing it mentioned or preached on, as seen by their annoyance at anyone saying that that God has anything to do with the tragedies that can overwhelm us in the twinkling of an eye. Because don't you know, everything can be explained by secondary causes without any reference to an almighty and sovereign God. And that's the world you're presently living in, brethren. Because how many people mentioned that God was sovereign over all the tragedies that we've heard of over even the last week in this area? A plane goes down, trees fall, a house burns. Where's God? God sitting in the glory of heaven with unfallen angels and the redeemed saying, glory, glory, glory to the Lord God Almighty. They're not sitting there, "Who do you think you are, God?" When any truth about God is misquoted or misused, dear brethren, the devil's breath is on it. Because how does Elihu illustrate the truth of the sovereignty of God in verses 14 and 15? By declaring how easy it is for God to take anyone out of this world, regardless of who they are. If he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto the dust. But why is Elihu stating these truths, both about the absolute sovereignty of God and how easily he displays this truth every time anyone passes from this life? Because he wants to use it to edify and help Job in the midst of suffering? No! He uses it to draw another faulty application of this truth with respect to God. Since God is sovereign over the lives of everyone who has lived, he's sovereign over everyone who is living, and he's sovereign over everyone who will ever live, and you, Job, are going through what you are going through, Job, under that sovereignty, you can't be who you say you are. Curse God and die. For God would not take any true Coram Deo believer through what he is taking you through. Because don't forget what Satan said to God, "Strike Job, God, and he will curse you to your face." And now through Elihu, as through Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz, Satan is attempting to get Job to think God is not treating me the way I should be treated as a true confessing believer in him. When someone attempts to use the truth of the sovereignty of God to generate hard thoughts in your mind concerning God, realize who's behind it. Elihu is still not finished. He's still not finished. I'm not finished this chapter. Elihu is still not finished in misusing truth about God to assault Job with. Now, does Elihu think Job should listen to this faulty application of truths about God? You know the answer already. But what does Elihu repeat in verse 16? "If now thou hast understanding, hear this, hearken to the voice of my word." Oh, how it must have been a trial for Job to listen to long-winded Elihu as he attempts to twist what Job has said and added that to the truth about God to deceive and mislead Job. Now, what has Job said that Elihu misuses to accuse Job of assaulting the righteous character of God that Elihu makes reference to in the next verses, verses 17 and 18? "Shall even he that hate right govern? Or wilt thou condemn him that is most just? Is it fit to say to a king, thou art wicked, and to princes, ye are ungodly?" Now, has Job said anything that would justify Elihu accusing Job of condemning God? For if Job had done this, the devil would have already won. Job is condemning you, God, and no true Coram Deo saint that you say Job is condemns the totally righteous and holy God. Well, what does Job say back in Job 27:2, that Elihu is misusing to make this false accusation against Job? "As God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed my soul." Now, just as the words "all" and "world" are misused, how easy it would be for Elihu to base his saying that Job is condemning God, even being unjust, by what Job says in Job 27:2. But dear brethren, is Job charging God with injustice here? No. Because if this was what Job is saying and meaning, Satan wins. What Job is testifying to in verse 2 of chapter 27, as I said this morning, is the fact he wants an audience with God. But what has God not done up to this point? What has he not done up to this point? God has not granted it to him. So what is this delay on the part of God? If I dare put it this way, doing to godly Job's soul, it's vexing it. It's vexing his soul. Job wants to appear before God, because he knows that the God he is seeking is righteous in all his way and holy in all his works. Job knows that the answer to Elihu's first question in verse 17 is, "Shall even he that hateth right govern? No, when the wicked rule, the righteous groan." How much are you groaning today, believer? It is because Job knows who God is that he is vexed and able to say that he has taken away his judgment by not calling me before his holy throne. Because no non-believer, no wicked hypocrite wants to appear before God in judgment. But Job, because he wants to understand why his God is taking him through what he is going through, so Job can righteously but impatiently say that his judgment has been taken away. His judgment has not been taken away, it has been delayed. It has been delayed so that he can fully testify to being who God has declared him to be. For as I said, if what Elihu is accusing Job of doing in the last part of verse 17 as well as verse 18 was true, Satan would already have won. And wilt thou condemn him that is most just? Is it fit to say to a king, thou art wicked, and to princes ye are ungodly? No, it might be fit to say that about earthly fallen kings and princes, as Jesus does before Pilate. But no true saint of the Lord is going to say that the King of kings and Lord of lords, their only way of acceptance with God is unjust or wicked. But what does Elihu do with the truth that is neither safe nor wise to call fallen earthly kings wicked? He takes it to a much higher level. Verse 19. How much less to him that accepts not the persons of princes, nor regards the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hands. Oh, the subtlety of Elihu. As he assaults Job, he takes things that Job has said and twists them to mean things that Job did not mean, and then adds them to truth about God to imply that Job thinks he's more righteous and holy than God. Job, who do you think you are? Daring to say that the thrice holy God has taken away your judgment. Dear friends, just because someone knows a truth or truths about God does not mean they are using them correctly. Elihu is not using the truths he is declaring about God correctly, meaning to the glory of God and the good of Job's suffering soul. Elihu is using them to assault Job with. He is trying to knock him down, not build him up, not help him. Because how does Elihu use the last truth about God that I will refer to so as not to overwhelm you, as Elihu was trying to do with Job? Verses 20 to 22. In a moment shall they die, and the people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away, and the mighty shall be taken away without hand, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. Job, don't you know that God has heard all that you've said about him? There is nowhere you can hide from him. Elihu is laboring to get Job to think he is displaying wickedness rather than honesty with what he has been saying. Job, wouldn't it be better if you acknowledge the truth of what I've been saying about you rather than risk being cut off as easily as God could cut you off? Elihu is not using the truth he is declaring about God in a loving way for Job. If I am correct that Elihu is being used of the devil, and I would not be emphasizing it if I did not think I am rightly dividing what Elihu is saying to Job, but if Elihu is being used of the devil in the devil's final assault against Job, there is no love for God or Job in what Elihu is saying to Job. Brethren, one of the easiest ways a person can show that they are being used by a fallen spirit and not the Holy Spirit of truth and love is not speaking the truth in love. If I dare give you a modern day example of this, it would be the Westboro Baptist cult. Does God hate the sin of sodomy? Yes. There's no biblical denying of that fact. But holding up posters at funerals, condemning the sin of sodomy, is not reflecting the love and the compassion of the one who wept at the tomb of Lazarus and said, I am the resurrection and the life, and whosoever biblically believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Or ask you simply, read over for yourself what Elihu says and how he says it to Job, and ask yourself, does what Elihu says to Job and what he seeks to imply by what he says to Job display a love for Job? Does it display a love for God? Just because a person can quote scripture, just because a person can write treatises on truths about God, does not mean the love, does not mean they love the God they are writing about, or those they want to read what those they want to read what they have written. Just because a pope can say things that are true about God does not mean he loves that truth or those he is quoting it to. Because if he truly did, he would not mix it with all the false and demonic teachings that he teaches and endorses. Elihu is like the beast recorded in Revelation 13:11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Elihu wants to give Job the impression that what he is saying to him is for his benefit and blessing, but the exact opposite is the case. Be on your guard, brethren. When truth about God is declared, but when it is declared without true love for either God or man, be on your guard. Because just because a person can speak the truth doesn't mean they are speaking it in love. Elihu wasn't. Do you? That's right. Oh Lord, give us the wisdom to realize that one of the most dangerous things we can do is have any negative thoughts or words about any truth you have been pleased to reveal about yourself. And then to have truth about yourself taken and twisted and turned and added to error. Oh Lord, the devil is still working in the world. So keep us by your grace again. Keep us in your word. Keep us to crying out, Lord, give me the grace to understand what I'm reading in light of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth and my only teacher. And may his Spirit so guide us and protect us that we are kept from all the false twistings and turnings of men who can quote scripture. Sadly, many will misquote scripture. And they will misquote it or quote it not to glorify you, not to edify the person they are speaking it to, but so often simply to reinforce their falsehood. Oh Lord, keep us from the deceptive Elihu that still walk this earth. Help us even in this week, in Jesus' name.